Prahlad Maharaj said, "My lord, it is your lordship who gave this valley a very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today, it is you who have taken it away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because the exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkest of ignorance. You have done him a great merciful favor by taking away all his opulence." Purport by His Divine Grace C.C. Bedford and Swami Prabhupada. As it is said, Yasham ihama ishata danan sada. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotees by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away this material possessions. Yeshma anyaha vishata dana sakai. So what we'll do is just quickly read the text leading up to that. Sukadev Goswami said, "O best of the Kuras, while Bharat Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. Then Bali Maharaj, with his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment in the eyes, his tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of the lotus. He is very dear and pleasing to everyone. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respects to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame." There's a small purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamadeva, he was certainly to be considered an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associations like Sunada, he was overwhelmed with tears and jubilant. Accordingly, the Lord, and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. And in today's purport, Prahlad Maharaj said, "O Lord, it is your lordship who gave this valley a very great opulence of the host of heavenly king. And now today, it is you who have taken it away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting in him the darkest of ignorance. You have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence."
Prahlad
Jajish Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhaknavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. It's interesting that one of the most progressive faiths, as in getting followers, is something that has been described as the prosperity church. You give your heart to the Lord and you will get all the heavenly riches here on earth. You will be wealthy. Haribo! No wonder it's a very popular message. Who doesn't want to have the heavenly riches here on earth? We all have desires. We all have wants. We all have needs. Within the church itself, then they have a thing called testify. Come and testify. Tell me what God has done for you this week. Testify, testify. So there'll be an open mic. And people come up and say, well, I was really struggling this week. I had no food in the cupboard. And the Lord came in the form of my Tesco's club card. And I realized that I've got all these extra points. So I've got a cupboard full of food. Harry Ball. In many ways, the philosophy is correct. Anything that we gain through the Lord's mercy. However, when it comes to testifying, people don't get up and say, do you know I had everything? And I woke up this morning and had nothing because God took it all away. Harry Ball! Oh, hang on. I know I've got a hearing problem. But I'm sure I misheard that. Did he say, I had everything and God's taking it all? How does that work? It's not a very palatable message in many ways. Because we taught that God is the giver. So he gives according to our desire. We're very fortunate, as in as much as we've started chanting Hare Krishna. How many people do we know are that fortunate that they get to chant Hare Krishna? Please, Krishna, serve me. Engage me in your service, please. That's another alien concept. Engage me in your service. Now, hang on a minute. You're supposed to be serving me, not the other way around. How does that work? With that comes great intelligence, great responsibility. But also, because we're asking Krishna, engage me in your service, and Krishna takes a very close look at what you've presented. And he takes an even closer look. In order to be able to serve Krishna nicely, we need to detach ourselves from material attachment. So Krishna takes an inventory of our personality. And any works, any plans, any schemes away of getting rid of anything and everything that is going to hinder our devotional service. Krishna has come, and the first thing he does is he looks at what he's going to take away. And he takes away all the bad bits. It's interesting, in 20 plus years of nursing, people come in with the disease-ridden body. I have a disease, please take it away, because I'm suffering. So you take a note of the symptoms, okay. So how are you feeling? What are your symptoms? So you start pouring it out. Well, you know, it started a few weeks ago and I thought I'd be all right. And slowly but surely it's got a lot worse. And I thought, well, I better come and do something about it. Because they're suffering. We don't see people going to the hospital because they're not suffering. I just thought I'd pop in and say, hello, how are you doing? Yeah? In all my years of nursing, nobody's come on my ward and saying, I'm feeling fine today. I just thought I'd pop in and say hello. How are you doing? We come to Krishna because we're suffering. Anybody here come to Krishna consciousness because they weren't suffering? Things were going swimmingly well. You had all the opulence in the world. Everything was going great. And you thought, I'll just go and find out why I'm having such a great time. How many people here came to Krishna consciousness because of that? No takers? No. Come because we're suffering. And some of us come and we have great opulence and we have all the finer things that material energy can give us. But we're still suffering because we're missing. Because of what we're focused on. So we start asking the questions, why am I ill? Why am I trying to enjoy the material energy? And why is it not working for me? Please tell me. It's interesting when you look at other faiths. They merge the body and the soul into one. They're seen as non-different. So when they talk about the body, they also mention the soul, and they don't disconnect the two. And so the message has to be quite basic. So the message is, okay, right, what you need to do is just think about what God's given you, and you'll be all right. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we're told, you're not the body. You are spirit soul. Stop identifying with the body. Okay? Probably one of the most easiest words ever said in Krishna consciousness, you are not the body. You're spirit soul. Don't identify with the body. Very easily rolls off the tongue. Not that easily practiced. Because we've had lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of feeding the material body to the point where we totally identify. It's interesting that when people come to the hospital, they get to the stage where they identify with the illness. What are you in for? Oh, I'm in for such and such thing. Oh, I've got that as well, you know. So, and they identify and start exchanging illness stories. Do you have such and such a thing with your illness? Oh, yeah. Right? So they take solace from each other. Oh, at least my illness isn't as bad as that person's illness. At least I don't have this twinge. Yeah. And this is what we do. We're bound by material disease. We're identifying with the body. We've lost the concept of the spirit soul and we've disconnected. They're no longer connected with each other. And so what do? We surround ourselves with people who are suffering from the same disease. What happens? We have disease pity party. Well, how are your suffering immaterial nature? Well, I'm doing okay, thank you very much. You know, I've just bought myself a brand new car. For now, I'm sorted. Very well. Go back a year later and the car's not quite as new and things aren't quite as they used to be, you know, so, you know, I think it's time I need to change. I need a new one because it's not quite... There's something new, better out there. And this is material life. So we're always given the illusion that there's something new and something better, something greater. And we strive. We've got to get. And so we get more and more entrapped and entangled. And we see this in medicine as well. Is that people get so entrapped in the disease process that they almost will not make a recovery because they're so engrossed in the disease. Yeah? We have people, and believe it or not, we actually have people that come on the ward, they purposefully make themselves ill in order to come into the hospital. We used to see that quite a lot with, especially teenage girls. And as we forget how much pressure, especially those in the female body are put under. I know that we're reminded many times again that, you know, the female body, the female world is rougher and tougher than the men's. And there's a lot of subtleties that go on there. And sometimes the only time that they can actually get relief from the suffering is by making themselves ill and turning up on the ward. At least they're safe and out of harm's way. And we used to have one or two young teenage girls who were almost regular to the ward. Suffering. Making themselves ill. And it becomes a coping mechanism. This is what we do with material bodies. It becomes a coping mechanism. More material, the better I can cope. The more material, the better I can cope. You take solace from the nice, shiny, new thing. And then you have to get another nice, shiny, new thing. You're taking solace all the time. So we're fortunate because we've started chanting Hare Krishna. And Krishna's taking notes. And he's looking at what is hindering. What is hindering our material. What is hindering our spiritual. And then he starts taking away. Bit by bit by bit. And sometimes he takes away in one foul swoop. And it's shocking and it's startling and it's, what on earth? I came to Krishna consciousness and now my life has fallen apart. It's terrible. By the mercy of the devotees, we're helped and supported through that stage. When we come in, it's because we're suffering. And the devotees help and support us. We want to come to a real hospital with real cures. It is not Watford General. It is not the Princess of Wales Hospital in Bridge End, where I come from. The real doctors do not wear white coats and stethoscopes around their necks. they can temporarily relieve some material suffering. When I was giving guidelines on giving classes, I said, don't say anything controversial. I'm going to say something very, very controversial. It's going to shock quite a lot of you. Right? This wonderful material body that you have been given will cease to exist. Your strength will go. Your natural body beauty will go. For most of you, it will be a painful departure from the material world. Unless you stay in a devotee association. And then they'll remind you of Krishna at that critical moment as the subtle spirit soul is ripped from that body that you have become so attached to. It gets even more shocking. Anything that you have accumulated materially will go also. And you will be forced to take birth again with nothing. Ask yourselves, do we want Krishna to take away? Or do we want time to take it away? Time will take whatever we've accumulated away. I gave this example in the in a Gita class, so anybody that was attending, I'm going to give the same example. I once got transferred from the children's ward. I generally worked for many years with children, mainly under one. If you're over one, I don't understand any of you. And so they transferred me over to this, to the ward. I worked 2 days a week in a private hospital. People become very, very proud of their opulence, of what they've achieved, their greatness, their prestige, their money. With opulence, prestige, and money comes a cure for everything. There is not one rich person that doesn't think that he can go into the private wing at Watford General and not get cured. I have the money, you can cure me. So I got transferred to one of the acute medical wards, and there's a gentleman there. And the thing is with nursing is a bit like Krishna. He knows what your problems are. So the nurses know what your problems are because they can read the report. Krishna's read your report. He knows what's up with you. Yeah? So we knew that it wasn't very good news for this particular chap. There was no cure. And that basically he only had weeks. It was a nice consultant. I quite liked the consultant. And this guy actually had a problem with women. Obviously, women, they're only there to do one or two things. Empty the bedpan. And to mop the brow. That's it. Okay, women are not intelligent. This was his mentality. Women are not intelligent to do any. You can't have a conversation with women because they're just not intelligent. You know, they can do all the domestic things. Yeah, how many Matajis have met men like that? Yeah, they're not going to say they're very polite, aren't they? Or Matajis say they're very polite. And so they said, well, can you go with the doctor because he only responds to men and we're going to give him the news. So the consultant sat. And he goes, I've got some really, you know, we've looked at your reports and everything like that. And he said, I'm really, really sorry, but there is no cure. He became very angry. What sort of doctor are you? I have money, I have wealth. There is nothing that you can't do that can't cure me. Well, the doctor said, well, you know, I'd really sort of advise that you sort of wind down you know, sort out your affairs, and if you're God-fearing, at least, you know, make peace with God. It's quite unusual to work with a God-fearing doctor. They're extraordinary because they see things as they really are, and they realize that they're limited. And so they know that the cure is going back home to Godhead. Don't bring God into it! What has he done for me? He's done nothing. I have achieved through my own endeavor all these. What sort of doctor? I demand a second opinion, because I don't like yours. Sometimes we come in Krishna consciousness and we do exactly the same. We don't like the opinion that we've been given, because Krishna reflects back what we have. So all our inadequacies are reflected back and we don't like it. So I don't like it. Can have a second opinion, because I'm sure I'm not that bad. Anyway, 2 weeks later, the second opinion came in and they transferred me back to the ward. And said, because he said, we need to speak to him again. So it transferred back to the ward, and I'm thinking, I really don't want to meet this guy. I see Shri Radhika Kulananda, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. And the conclusions were the same, because the results were exactly the same. Every time that Krishna has a new bhakta coming in, the condition is exactly the same. It's false identification with the material body and their own material achievements. So this guy's disease report had come in, the conclusion was the same. The consultant sat down and said, I'm really sorry, but we've checked and the results are exactly the same. And, you need to wind down your affairs and... you know, make peace with whoever you need to make peace with. You know, you're about to leave the body. You're only saying that because of your friend. You consultants are all the same, conspiring against with each other. You won't go against your friend just because he said, I'm going to die. My daughter has been on the internet, and I have found a cure. We're faced with the consultant with the knowledge, and then we convince ourselves that the person who is the consultant with the knowledge doesn't actually know what he's going on about. Yeah? So we come to the devotees, and the devotees say, look, this is your disease problem. You're falsely identifying with the body, and that's why you're suffering. Start identifying with the spirit soul. And I think you're mad. Doesn't quite work for me. And the consultant said, well, yes. I've read that research, and you're right that in the very early stages of your disease, it could possibly have worked. But you're too advanced. I demand that you take me to this doctor in America who can cure me, because it's obvious that you don't know what you're talking about and you cannot cure me. How many people do we know that come because they're suffering and because they don't like the message that are getting given, decide that they want to leave the association of devotees? Yeah? Yeah? Don't like the cure. The consultant tried desperately to convince him otherwise. It's like if I turned around and said, today, I'm going to leave Bhaktivedanta Manor and never come back ever, ever again, and you're all completely crazy. How many people here would try to dissuade me otherwise? Yeah? So, dear Bhakta, I really think that, you know, so sit down and talk about this. You know, so what are you thinking of? What's going on? If I was determined, okay. So you want to be kicked by material nature a bit more. Okay, off you go. We'll wait for you. Krishna's so merciful, that's what he does. Yeah? Okay, you want to be kicked by material nature, okay? I'll wait for you. Might take a few more lifetimes, but don't worry. I'll wait. So he demanded that he gets transferred to this hospital in America. So we made the arrangements, and because he was so sick, he had to go by air ambulance. Very expensive to go air ambulance from the UK to America. Especially seeing that you have to pay for the medical staff that's on there. You have to pay for the plane. You have to, but money was no object because he'd worked so hard to achieve such greatness and such wealth. And he was convinced still, despite getting told what the problem was, that he was still going to be cured. I bumped into the consultant because I went back to the sanity of the children's ward. And I say sanity. You have to deal with the parents. And sometimes the parents are a nightmare. There was a phrase that I coined on the ward, and they still use it in one of the hospitals that I work at. We won't go into that. But I bumped into the consultant a couple of weeks later. And I said, okay, just out of curiosity, what happened to the guy? Well, what happened? He goes, really angry guy. I said, oh, really hard work. I said, but what happened to him? He goes, oh. It's interesting. He said, we put him on the plane. And he died on the plane. Never made it to America to his cure. He said, the only problem is that the plane had to touch down, and the country that it touched down on doesn't want to release the body, and now the family's in anxiety. Because his body's in this country, miles away from home, and the family wants it back so they can bury it, and they can't because the country that he's landed in said, no, I think, sorry, you'll have to bury him here. So the family were in anxiety, asking the medical staff, can you please bring, our beloved home so we can give him a proper burial? And we're saying, we're sorry, don't deal with bureaucracy. We deal with illness. You're on your own. But he lost everything. And what had he gained? Nothing. Might not be so fortunate in the next life to even have a human form. There's an interesting point to ponder. Might not even be fortunate enough to have the human form. Gained nothing. But what do we see? Is Krishna's mercy is that to the devotee he takes away. It's interesting that he was embarrassed at the sight of Prahlad Maharaj. Why is he embarrassed at the sight of Prahlad Maharaj? Why is he moved to tears? Why is it that he can't even offer proper obeisances? All he can do is weep. Because he understood Prahlad Maharaj's position, his greatness, his glory. And he had all opportunity and blew it. Because he identified with what he had and disconnected from the spirit soul. So as Prahlad Maharaj walked in, the realization, because Krishna's been merciful enough to take it away, is kicking in. The higher intelligence is kicking in. Tears are rolling down their eyes. How many people, as we've come to Krishna consciousness, through the association of devotees, have felt a little bit embarrassed? Yeah? Because we're seeing reflected back Krishna's great opulence in a devotee. And it reminds us of our fallen condition. Tears rolling down the eyes. Yeah? What time do we carry on class till? 8:30, okay, right. So better get close to the conclusion. And yet, in that, Prahlad Maharaj is glorifying Krishna's beauty in taking away. Krishna taking away, the intelligence had kicked in. The intelligence had kicked in. Now I can see what my conditioning is. So we've come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, the greatest hospital in the world. You may not like the cure. You may find sometimes that the devotees treat you in such a way that you go, wow, what's happened? It's all part of your purification process. We stick with it. The end result is Krishna. And what do we gain when we gain Krishna? We gain reconnection with the spirit soul. When we're reconnected with the spirit soul, what happens? We lose the material body. When we lose the material body, we've gained spirit soul, we've gained everything. The whole opulence is there. We don't need anything more. On the occasions that I have been with people and they have chanted Hare Krishna at the moment of leaving their body, this is glorious. Generally speaking, when people leave the body, they have to be highly sedated. It's agony. The pain on the face. The expression that one of the things that the nurses try to do is before the family come in to see the deceased is to actually make it look nice. Generally speaking, people, they lose control of the bladders, of the bowels. Sometimes it's not nice. Devotee, when devotee leaves the body, Krishna is so merciful. You see a devotee leave the body, you know where they've gone. They've gone straight home. They might not have had the great material opulence that we might have thought that they were entitled to because of their greatness. But they had the greatest opulence and that is Krishna. But Krishna started by taking something away. He took away, reduced them to tears, to the point where they came looking for the answer. So we're all sat here because we've suffered, and Krishna has taken something away. And he will continue to take things away. And sometimes it will be painful, sometimes it will be difficult, sometimes it will be hard, but stick with it. Because you're going to lose it all anyway. Best lose it because Krishna's taking it away, than to lose it and be forced to take another body. So why is Prahlad Maharaj glorifying Krishna? Because Krishna took away the intelligence kicked in. Real intelligence kicked in. So we shall leave it there. Any questions, thoughts, corrections?